Hello, this is Mystic Babylon podcast number 52, and this is actually a repost of an earlier podcast in hopes that it will format right and download properly again. Where it was in the beginning, it wouldn't download, and I am almost positive if I post it as a new show, it will download properly. Here it is. Let's see if it works. This is Mystic Babylon's second full-length segment. Today we are recording poetry from a reader from the Wordbeat poetry series held at the Mediterranean Cafe in Berkeley at 2475 Telegraph Avenue, a few blocks from the university. The people who run it are Deborah Katab, David Golub, and Jeremy Siegel. Richard Silberg from Poetry Flash magazine has read there, and many other important poets also. Before I start this poetry segment, I would like to ask your indulgence in pardoning me for my slight stutter. I have numerous disabilities that go under the common person's radar, and in speaking publicly, my slight stutter comes out. Sometimes I feel like my mind, body, and soul is made out of a pile of war surplus from a junkyard, but that is a topic for another poem. If you would like to buy my Mystic Book of Poetry, Spirits of Bondage and Inherent Transcendence, you can buy it from AuthorHouse.com or almost any book-selling company on the web. Lastly, I would like to mention that there is a chance you can read on our open mic if you are from the Bay Area and you are copyrighted and published. I prefer groups of 2 to 3, but will consider single poets. It can't hurt to write me about it. The email address is on the podcast site. The poetry segment will now start. I, John Rhodes, will read first, and then Michael Kelly. Please also visit me at my personal website, rhodespoetry.com. The first poem, The Janus-Faced Pauper of Summer, was inspired by Janis Joplin, oddly enough. In making the title of the poem, I changed Janus, spelled J-A-N-I-S, to the mythological term Janus, spelled J-A-N-U-S, who was a god with two faces. I had a friend named Seth Morgan who was going to marry Janice, but sadly she passed away due to all the two-faced people she knew. What I was trying to echo in the poem is that many people's lives are claimed by those two-faced crooks and gamblers who deal you all the wrong cards. This is not to disrespect Janis Joplin, but to defend her. Here is the poem, The Janus-Faced Pauper of Summer. Stop singing, pauper, and stop running riotous like the colors of summer. Tooth and nail, you take down the summer house of pleasures and its innocent reach toward controlled civility. Stop tempting women who have a free imagination, who long to lust quick, but in ignorance of ordered elegance, like that found in well-ordered gardens that the pauper's poverty of imagination doesn't know. No structured design is he, no emblem of controlled beauty. The wicked Ahab built his house, the louse. The pauper of unrefined desire even makes the worm crawl, not giving him a spine, making it look ever more cheap and tawdry. The pauper spends his day enjoying the worm, but at the bottom of a tequila bottle. The worm would prefer to live chewing on some dead fungus or mushroom, giving an antidepressant effect to the worm's life. Odd, a squirm psychotic. Summer is hot and the lemonade is cold, but the pauper likes the neutral netherworld that sullies up contrary emotions, which makes the pauper smile, because these hot and cold emotions are like a two-sided coin echoing the two-faced Janus, and these emotions will give him a following in the hot sun. After all, the young ones will say he is only half a devil. Thank you. This next poem is The Nether Faction of Frisco. It is about the Tenderloin of San Francisco, where the homeless come for winter, San Francisco being very warm in the winter. San Francisco's Tenderloin is haunted by the ghosts of all sorts of souls, good and bad, from the homeless people's past and San Francisco's past, and this is about those ghosts. The Tenderloin of the town has forgotten how to hum a pleasant sound, or pay attention as it toils or stays awake, as the pain of the birth of lonely spirits abound. Its children are smothered, as the stepfather became foiled by his own self as he lathered. The tail of the dragon drags its tail across the nightmarish dark sky, as a modern Fagin escapes down the street out of the corner of the eye. Dull is the night where the silent men murmur in the darkness, in sightless spite, no hope appears where shadows fight. You can't shut the curtain and look out the window without seeing people who wander there uncertain. Ghosts of souls they are, blowing in the wind, and with the devil they go a-flirtin', but they walk with dulled emotions as if dead to the hurtin'. A nightmare in the street, a sleeping hobo. He acts and looks as if he is looking for his lost doll Bobo. Listless pain, vacuum of self, trying to upstage the sinner as I eat a lonely dinner. The paddy wagon carries cops, dogs with distemper. They lock up people as they sigh and whimper. None of this really happened. Thank you. This last poem, 1 in 5, is a poem about comparing God's skill of creating mankind from clay, if he did such a large feat, to the way a potter spins his pots and is frustrated with creating something perfect. I doubt that God thought that he had created perfection, but he thought he had done his best. Here is the poem, 1 in 5. The potter can't create perfect pots. If 1 in 5 are good, then the potter knows he's not a dud. The 1 in 5 pots that the potter makes that are good shine, and that almost makes the potter forget his lines. If only 1 in 5 persons had faces that shined as much as that one pot, people would have less trouble and would smile a lot. After struggling for 5 separate things to succeed, and as a result only producing 1 good deed, you feel incomplete and have a lack of self-esteem. But Godhead will, you know, accept you as something it can redeem. It must have been this way when God made Adam out of clay, when there were dinosaurs and creation was in disarray. But right then light popped out of the clouds and removed Adam's sadness, which came in shrouds, and Adam shouted out loud. Thank you very much.
My name is Michael Thomas Kelly, and I can be reached at michaelthomaskelly.com. I've been writing since 1965, a graduate of the University of New Mexico. At present, I'm a registered nurse and work at an emergency department in a hospital in the East Bay. This is my existential poem. I like it a lot and read it often. Acknowledgments to Carl Sandburg. Entitled Late Romanticism. At night, I lie on the bed in the dark and wait for the stars to come from behind clouds, for the waning moon to rise. And I realize what a mess I've made of my life, and how self-indulgent and self-absorbed I've become. In darkness, I eat a sandwich while the radio plays something classical, Poulenc maybe. But I fall asleep before the moon rises, or the clouds can lift enough to allow the stars shine to penetrate the eternal blue in the blackness of dark. As I said, I have been a nurse and have been for decades. This is about my best, worst fears. Poem entitled About Nursing. It's the secrets people tell me that I like the best. All the dirty laundry that needs airing, about the substances and people they abused. Love turned to hate, control, dominance, ruthless business ventures, pouring their hearts, spilling their guts, about how they cheated, at what, on whom, and why. All the things they wanted, lusted after, got and lost. The people, the relatives, friends, screwed over just to get something, somewhere, somebody. Tainted and tawdry, every day is Yom Kippur, every evening Good Friday confessional. The nights are even more insane, irrational, and unbelievable. The bad thing is, I can't really tell you mine. By the way, what's yours? I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the secrets. This is a lengthy poem about a trip I took to Baja, Mexico, and the awakening I had there on the beach. There is some Spanish, but it is translated within the body of the work, so you won't miss anything. The title, The Silver of Las Ballenas. 1. The Overture. Precaución, este camino no está para alta velocidad. South of La Jolla and into Tejota, the road signs issue the warning. Caution, this road is not for high speed. For years I have listened at camp's fireside to the stories and tales of great wealth of the silver from Las Ballenas. It's not known if the silver comes from caves, diggings, or mines. Con cuidado ustedes que hablan en español. Es posible que ustedes no saben que son las ballenas. Beware, you who speak in Spanish. It is possible you don't know las ballenas. But it may not be where or even who you may think it is. The tellers of tales come from everywhere. From Californians with their superlatives, the Texans with their grandiosities, the Alaskans with their verities. Some say seven cities, others say gold. But liquor, the poor man's truth serum, speaks of silver. And I, the former barkeep, now know from reading books and from distillate speeches, I have distilled the necessary knowledge of the silver of Las Ballenas. Many times I pushed away and resisted the drinks of ethanol and pocketed the monies, tips, and pieces of gold and silver. And now, here, sin drogas, I am drug-free, south of Ensenada, 10-20 years ago, the road ended. Then in the early 70s, the Transpeninsular Road was built. And now, where the old road ended and the new road begins, and now I, 20 and more, am well-traveled on the mainland roads. I speak the language, but more important, I dig the digger's lingo. I push onward, damn Ahab, towards the middle of the spine of mountains, onward towards the land beneath the mountains, where the desert drops to its knees to meet the sea, and turkey vultures sweep the sky. 2. The Fugue. It has become necessary to have guides, assistants, and Sherpas. After several days in Guerrero Negro, we head west to the Whaler's Lagoon. Stories retold and reheard are that of the first whaler who came and spotted the first whales, killed the calves to attract mothers and others. The baby screams, then killed all. But they kept coming, the whales and the whalers, till the killing killed itself. In order to preserve itself, its self, its selflessness. The pain of childbirth outweighs the fear of danger. It's not a matter of courage. Do not ask the mother to choose. There is no choice. We secure a boat, and we will sail to Bahia Tortugas, in Scammon's Lagoon, as dawn is upon Laguna Ojo de Liebre. At night, when the wind is right, I hear the drone of machines running, of diesels churning. Is there mining near Bahia Tortugas? Turtles Bay on the map is blurred and parched. The local nacionales differ in their directions. The kayak is ready for dawn departure, nighttime, then first light. The oars glisten in the unrisen sun's first light, light that's golden against azul of sky, brown of land and green to purple of sea, and white of fog and haze, and damn Ahab, the rowing's hard, the muscles ache, waiting and wanting, the muscles ache, wanting to separate from bone, and skin wants to burn from flesh, from the sun, the pain's getting greater, the tide's pulling one way, the wind's another, our direction is still another, the aches I've known to get here are greater than that of the multigravita, but no stopping, I'm almost there. Then the back of whale appears, it is gray, black, it shines, it's gray and the barnacles appear, it's silver and the tail splashes, the water sending spray into the air, and again the spouting of air from the blowhole. Air from the lungs condenses in the morning sunlight. Silver, I have in my face the silver of Las Ballenas. Blow, baby, mother fluke. The turbulence overturns the boat, and I am sinking. There is falling away. I feel an existential leap into the quantumized. Ahab, the staunch one with mutilated reality, limp and sex organs. He wears the face of my father and my father's father and my mother's grandfather, and he is godlike, also named Michael, with a flaming sword and an archangel too, black, brimmed with super-ego sombrero. He must go. Zarathustra speaks, saying, now you can eat, feeding on more than just krill, shrimp, and shellfish. You can dive deep and hunt predators, down deep till you can feed on your own illusions. You know both sides of the contradiction, seeing how they fit and why they work. Down deeper I plunge through Dante's rings, 4, 5, 7, 9, and punch through, and with Jim Morrison's microphone and guitar, break through to the other side. It's Black Hole and Janice and Jimmy and Otis and Bix and a pork pie hatted hornblower. I see the Scribner, hear the Scribner saying, I'd rather not, and Melville's desperation. Damn Ahab, ahead the precipice, the abyss awaits, not knowing who Ahab is. Ahab the polarizing fundamentalist, frozen, polymerized, spinning in his own orbit, unable to leap into the next level. He must die. Ahab must die. The jihad is over. The crusader is too far from home, too close to the grail. Damn Ahab. Rule number one, the pain and suffering causes confusion and delusion. There, the Bodhisattva emanates from within Las Ballenas, sharing the same saffron light from within me. Within me, suffused in silver light threads, are a million whales, a million Bodhisattvas, millones de Las Ballenas. I see the tree that is me, seeing across 6,000 years of branches that bloom 200, 300 blossoms of life times that were me. Some fruit has fallen on the ground. The greatest good for the greatest number. Above all, serve all and be happy. And be happy. Take impish delight in afflicting the comforted. Take compassion in comforting the afflicted. Take compassion in comforting the afflicted. Take impish delight in afflicting the comforted. But above all, serve all and be happy. I am dry. I was never wet. I am cleansed. I was never dirty. There is a Tien. There never was a Sheol. There is a Nirvana. There always was illusion. Now there is illumination. 3. The Cadenza. The boat returns to shore, tired and exhausted. I hear the drone of diesels from Bahia Tortugas, a cannery for the catch from the fish camps. The drunken boat returns to the shore, tired and drained. There is rumination of redemption and salvation. Yes, it is clearer through rumination to samsara, enlightenment, and then to nirvana. The hawk from the mountain's cliff flies to the sea, dives into the flock of aquatic birds, huddling, scurrying together, guarding their clutches. Back on the road home, we stop for gas. The tip man washes our car windows. He asks with a toothless smile for Popenia. We give him the silver of Las Ballenas. We must save the whales because the whales save us, and if they die, we are already dead.
This is the end of our second poetry segment. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll have another one in approximately 2 weeks. Have a nice 2 weeks.